Good morning and welcome to Your Christian Fellowship Online. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. And I have some great news for you. Next Sunday, June 7th, our authorities have given us permission to be able to open up our doors to meet. So we're just asking that everyone would use social distancing and be compliant with wearing a mask so we can all join together and in peace and love and joy and celebrate Jesus. If you would like to give into our ministry, there are many different ways you can give. You can mail a check-in to York Christian Fellowship, but we have some easier ways as well. We have a text to give, and we have an app, and you can go to ycf.com under giving. With that, please enjoy the service.
Good morning, everybody. I am so glad that you are tuning in. Thank you for letting us come into your home. I want to start by asking you a question. What books have impacted your life? Well, I'm pretty sure it's the obvious, especially for me. The Bible has been the book that's impacted my life and is still impacting my life. But I got to thinking about other books that just really just spoke into my life for many years ago. One was by T.L. Osborne, Healing the Sick. Just a phenomenal book, and it just opened my eyes and impacted me. Another one was a little book by E.W. Kenyon. It's called The Blood Covenant. I've actually probably read that once or twice a year. I've worn the covers off and had to get a couple new ones. I think of another book that's impacted my life is Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind. Who knew my mind was a mess there? So these are books that have impacted my life in my journey with Jesus. But a few years ago, I picked up a book by Jensen Franklin. He's a pastor, and he wrote a book called Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. And it was a time of my life, which I didn't know, but I knew that I needed this message, and it just changed my life. It is still continually changing my life. So I believe today's message, because we are going to talk about that, is going to give you hope and grace, and I'm believing for big freedom. So let's grab your Bibles. Why don't you grab your Bibles, and we're going to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's probably a very familiar chapter to a lot of you. Gosh, half the time people read it in weddings, but it's really interesting. There's only two subjects in the Bible where God felt it was so important he'd give that subject a whole chapter. Just two. There's only two, and they'd have a whole chapter in the Bible. So the first one is faith. And if you were to open up Hebrews chapter 11, the whole chapter is about faith. And it goes like this. By faith, this guy did this. And by faith, he did this. And by faith, and by faith. For the whole chapter, it talks about faith. Then the other subject is love, and it's in this chapter we're going to read, 1 Corinthians 13. So why don't you read along or follow along with me, will you? I'm reading out of the NIV this morning, and it goes like this. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And verse 8, love never fails. How about we all say that? Love never fails. Okay, so why don't I kind of just skip a stone here. How many of you have read some famous quotes, okay, and they just stuck to you, right? Like something that has now become just of a part of our culture, and it stays with us on our everyday. So I'm going to read a few of these, and you may know some of them. Here's the first one. First famous quote, 'tis better to have loved and lost than never have loved and lost. Anybody ever hear that one before? It was by Lord Alfred Tennyson. Here's another one, knowledge is power. Anybody know that one? Knowledge is power. It's by Sir Francis Bacon. Here's another one, to err is human, but to forgive is divine. And that's by Alexander Pope. And how about this one? God helps those who help themselves. Now, be honest, how many of you thought that came out of the Bible? Well, it didn't. It was written by Ben Franklin, right? So I was thinking about the book that Jensen Franklin wrote, and his title about love like you, love like you've never been hurt is actually a quote from somebody you've probably never heard about. Actually, I didn't, so I had to do a little Googling here. This gentleman, he was the first African-American pitcher to be inducted in the National Baseball Hall of Fame. He played 20 years of baseball. That's pretty amazing in itself. And his name is Leroy Robert Satchel Paige. Okay, and these are some amazing things about him. He played baseball at a time when he was the only black man pitching on the field, all right? He was an amazing athlete, and yet he was terribly criticized. People would yell racial slurs at him while he was pitching, just horrible. But here's a cool story about him. One of the stories goes like this. One of the teams that they were playing against, in an attempt to just intimidate and maybe even humiliate him, what they did is they lined up their top four batters first. Now, even I know, you don't do that. Usually you put your regular guys in, and then you save that fourth guy, the real heavy hitter, so he can hit him in, all right? So this team put their top best four batters up in an attempt just to really just humiliate the guy. And before Satchel Paige began to pitch, he said to his outfield, "Hey, you guys, you ought to just go into the dugout." And then he said to the first and second and third base guys, "You guys just sit down. You just got to sit down right now." And then he went and pitched to these four best pitchers, and he struck every one of them out. The guy was a phenomenal athlete, all right? And many times, he pitched two games in a row, all right? And that usually don't do that for a whole game. And this one I like. He pitched three innings when he was 60 years old for the Kansas City team, right? But he also was kind of cool. He just had this quirky personality. He had famous quotes, and of which I think I knew one of them. But this one here goes, he would say, "Keep the ball on the fat part of the bat." And I like that. I chuckled. I'm like, I get that one. And I'm not really big on baseball, okay? And here's the other one. "Don't look back. Something might be gaining on you." And here's the one that inspired Jensen Franklin to write his book. Ready? It goes like this. "Work like you don't need money, love like you've never been hurt, and dance like nobody's watching." All right? So love like you've never been hurt. And he said that after people had said horrible things, racial slurs at him while he was pitching and on the game field, okay? And people would ask him, "How can you do this? How can you do this?" And he says, "Hey, listen, you guys, you got to love like you've never been hurt." I think that's a good one. So here's the good news, I guess. Sooner or later, guys, people are going to hurt you. Sooner or later, you're going to be rejected. Sooner or later, you're going to be talked about and not in a great way. Sooner or later, you're going to have some conflict in your life and probably by people that you love. Sooner or later, you're going to get stabbed in the back. Now, as I just read all those, I'm pretty sure some of you had these faces come before you of people that have done that to you, okay? Why? Because many times the people we love the most hurt us the deepest. Sad, but it's true, okay? But let me give you another famous quote, and this one's by Jesus. We like Jesus. It's actually found in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. Just real simple. Offense must come. Jesus said, offense must come. And I'm pretty sure you don't have a coffee mug with that on it or your t-shirt, right, that says offense must come. But here's the deal. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You are going to get offended. You are going to get in conflict with some people, and especially with the people that are closest to you and that you love. And, you know, I think about it, probably most of us, I can get along with anybody. You can get along with anybody, right? As long as they have the same viewpoint, as long as they have the same theology, as long as they have the same lifestyle, as long as they have the same everything. Shoo, baby, I can get along with you. But what do you do when you get into conflict and you don't agree? So that's what we're going to talk about. But the answer is love like you've never been hurt. And that's our main idea today, write it down. And I'm just really praying that just explodes in your heart this week, and it just becomes so real. So you love like you've never been hurt. Love like you've never been hurt. Now, funny thing is, the truth, there are some people that wake up every day and the first thing they do is they brush their teeth, and I like to say it this way, they sharpen their tongue to attack you. Anybody know those people? I've been around some of those people, but guys, somewhere in life, you're going to be hurt. Sometime in life, you're going to get your feelings hurt. And I know this doesn't sound very encouraging right now, but hang with me, all right? So somewhere you're going to be offended. Somewhere in life, you're going to be deeply wounded. Somewhere, maybe the people that you work with, they're just going to betray you, all right? But this is the deal. We got to rise up and love them like you've never been hurt. Love them like you've never been hurt. So you're probably thinking, yeah, right, Pastor D, how's that look? Well, let me give you some Old Testament examples. Let's look at Joseph. Joseph, not Mary and Joseph, but the other Joseph, the Joseph with a coat of many colors, okay? So here's Joseph, and he's risen up to authority, a second in command, and he just picture him having the keys to all the barns that are full with all the grain, right? And everybody else is starving, and in trucks in his brothers. You know those boys that just threw him in a pit and left him? And in comes those people that forgot he was in jail. What was that? The butler and the baker. They totally forgot about him after he helped him out. And in comes Potiphar. And in comes Potiphar's wife, who just falsely accused him. Okay? At that moment, Joseph has to make a decision. Like, I can get back at them. I can use my power. I can use my authority. I can get them. I can finally have revenge on them. Joseph comes to that point and he makes a decision and he decides, I am going to love them even though I know they have wronged me so deeply. I am going to love them like I've never been hurt. And listen, good thing he did, because he saved his whole family and the nation of Israel, because he could love like he'd never been hurt. So that's Joseph. How about Moses? Moses gets this idea really from God. I am going to set God's people free. And the only problem in the beginning, he just fails royally, majorly. And then he goes and he runs away to the backside of the desert for 40 years. And while he's there for 40 years, he's probably thinking about how bad they treated me. Oh my gosh, for 40 years. Oh, how he's just thinking on this. And then God shows up. You know the story. God shows up on the burning bush, in the burning bush, and he says, Moses, go back to those same people and set them free. And I could just hear Moses saying, hey God, if I pet that dog, he's going to bite me. And I am smarter than a fifth grader. I'm not going. And God says, hey, listen, go back. And what? Love them like you've never been hurt. And that's exactly what he does. And he sets the children of Israel, children of Israel free out of Egypt. And we are so glad. All right? Here's another guy. Think about his story. Think about David. David's father never really believed in him, right? And then he had a bunch of brothers who made fun of him and belittled him, okay? He had a wife that just put him down and mocked him on how he worshiped God, right? He had a son named Absalom who broke his heart, and he had a father-in-law who tried to kill him. And some of you think you have dysfunction in your family. Some of you think your kids are crazy, okay? But listen, guys, we have to make up our minds that we are not going to be bitter. We are not going to be mean and angry. And we're going to say, I don't care what you did. I am going to choose to love you like I've never been hurt. Now, here's one. Let me stretch you with this, because I've heard this before. You have to sometimes, I've had this, but people have to love God like they've never been hurt. I can't tell you how many people have come and said, you know, Pastor D, I'm just so mad at God because he didn't answer my prayer this way. And Pastor D, you know, God didn't do this and this. And you know, how about if you have to love God like you've never been hurt? So let me give you an example. The guy named Job. Job, how about this? He had 10 kids and they all die in one day. Then he has a wife and says, why don't you just go kill yourself? You talk about real encouraging woman, all right? And then let's just put some more icing on the cake. Okay, he had four friends who sat in a circle for 7 days, and they just machine gunned him and said, "You're a hypocrite, Job. You're a liar, Job. Job, this is why God's judgment's on you. This is why you're sick. This is why you lost everything." And listen, at that moment, Job had to decide what he was going to do. And you know, the Bible tells us that he loved these guys like they never were hurt. And then God, after he did that, listen to this, God shows up and talks to him and he says, "Because you have loved like you've never been hurt, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. I'm going to restore even more of what was stolen from you." Incredible. All because Job made a decision. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to just go after them. All right, so those are some Old Testament guys. How about we talk about Jesus, all right? My favorite guy to talk about. How about we talk about Jesus? The Bible says that he was beaten, he was wounded, he was bruised, and he lifted up his voice and he said, "Father, forgive them," right? Now, he didn't wait until they said, "Well, ask for forgiveness." He didn't wait. No. He made a decision. And listen, forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a choice. You ought to write that one down. I'll say it again. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a choice, okay? So here's Jesus hanging on the cross. And he says, "Father, forgive them, and I am going to love like they've never hurt me." I mean, with all the stripes and the beating, I am going to love like they never hurt me. So I guess where I'm going with this is that I see so many Christians and so many families that are a mess. And it's all because we don't know how to love one another, all right? And let me tell you some things I hear all the time. I hear this. Parents tell me they are estranged from their kids. They're estranged from their kids. And I hear, like, "I haven't spoken to my child in over 2 years." And I'm like, "What?" And I don't get along with them. Like, we had this big conflict, aka words, blow-ups, and they're like, "I just don't talk to them anymore," all right? And I hear about brothers taking their own brother to court. Or I hear about Christians suing one another, all right? I hear Christian parents say this, you know, My children, they have chosen to live this lifestyle, and I know it's not, it's sin, so I'm just cutting them off. People, can I tell you, that is so far from God's heart on how we love one another, all right? Well, I'll hear people say, "Well, you know, my kids live on the other side of town, and I just never call them because, you know, the last time we got together 3 years ago, we had this big blow up, so I'm done with them," and I write them off, okay? And I'm like, "No, it's not okay," all right? It is not okay. And let me tell you why. Because God gave every single one of us, it's called the ministry of reconciliation. So turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I'll explain it later, but let me read you from the Word of God. I'm going to read out of the New King James, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us," brought us back, "reconciled us to himself through Jesus." Thank you, right? And this is the next part. "And has given us," those of you who just got reconciled, "he has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Verse 19, "That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them that was committed and has committed to us the word of God, reconciliation." And verse 20 says that we're now ambassadors, okay? But listen to this really cool translation. It's called the Beck translation. And it goes like this: "But God has done it all when we were his enemies. Through Christ, he made us his friends and gave us the work of making friends of enemies." So guys, in other words, listen, we were separated. We were were estranged from God because of our sin, because we were just despicable, just so wrong, okay? And here we have God, God who is so rich in his mercy, the one who knows everything about us, okay? He knows all the truth about us. He's the one that took the first step, and he takes every step, and he reconciles us back to him. And then he says, I want you to reconcile with your kinfolk. I want you to reestablish relationship with your family, with your friends, okay? And that is called the ministry of reconciliation. And once you become scooped up and reconciled back to God, he gives you that same ministry, all right? So I want to talk to all you parents. All you parents, your kids didn't do it all right. They weren't perfect. Okay, now I want to talk to all you adult kids who have kids. Your parents didn't do it all right. And I hear adult kids say, you know, my parents, they just really messed up and I'm not going to be like my parents. And then they're squabbling with your parents just back and forth, okay? Now I want to talk to grandparents. I had this wise old grandma say this to me, and it is stuck. She said, Dee, you're a grandparent, you need to zip it. And I'm like, but. And she said, no, listen, you are just the grandparent. You need to zip it. And if by chance your child asks you about raising their child, your grandchild, you just walk like you're on thin ice, okay? And so I'm working on it. I have to tell you, there have been times I'm like, gosh, I need to zip it, all right? I have to zip it. Let me give you an object lesson or analogy about this. I heard this minister say this, and it is just so good, so I'm just going to copy him. He said, he looked up the word nitroglycerin, and he said it has two, in the dictionary, and it has two definitions. One definition for nitroglycerin, it is an explosion to blow up something, right? Okay, and the second definition, it's a medicine to heal hearts. And how many of you have heard this or might you really have done this, okay? You take your nitroglycerin pill and you might be having some heart issues going on, and you take that pill and it settles your heart, okay? Or nitroglycerin can blow up a bridge, all right? So guys, our words are like nitro. All right? They can be like nitro. And your words can just blow up a house, right? And everybody and your relationships inside of it. Or your words have the power to heal. So we need to watch it. Zip it. Amen. So here's where I really wanted to get to. What do you do when you have conflict, disagreement? What do you do with your family and friends? Sometimes you're going to have to look at your kid and say, I may not agree with what your choices are, but I love you. You may have to say, I do not approve of your lifestyle, okay? But as long as you live, I love you and you are mine. You may say, hey, I am not financing your lifestyle and the things that you're involved in. I'm not giving you no money, okay? All right? But you can't put me out of your life. I am going to love you, right? Why? Because love never fails. Now, guys, sometimes it's going to take more than a week. It might take more than a year. But God said, we read that in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. Now, question, how many of you have raised teenagers? Shoo, baby, I did. I'm glad it's over with. And there were some tough things happening with teenagers. Now, how many of you are in the middle of it? I'm praying for you, okay? And you're going to learn some tough love. But here's the thing I found out, and you probably know, but think about it. There's no perfect people. There's no perfect parents. There are certainly no perfect teenagers. And we just do our best to train them up in the Lord, right? And I will tell you, some of you even know, we went through some tough times with some of my kids at different times. We did. And I have had parents come to my office and just pour out their heart of what they're going in with their teenagers, all right? Problems from A to Z, problems like my kid has friend problems. My kid has school problems. My teenager is now in drugs and alcohol problems, all right? My teenager is pregnant. My teenager's run away. And this one, my teenager's sitting in a jail cell, all right? So what do you do? What do you do? Those are obviously some conflicts and some just real hurtful things. So what do you do? Well, let me tell you a story. This has probably been, 15 years ago or more, because I was raising teenagers. And Jack and I were at a meeting, and we sat down at a table with a pastor, and he just shared this story. They had, it's a pastor. Let me say that again. It's a pastor. And he raised his kids in church, and they went to youth group. And his oldest daughter goes off to college, and she just hooks up with the wrong friends. And they end up by having to come and just get her out of the college scene. They bring her back home. She's just off the chart, rebellious, and problems and conflicts, and like missiles going off in the house. And every once in a while, she just take a walk and not come back for a couple days. It was just really a tough time. One day, she had taken off. 2 days later, she calls up her parents and she says, "Mom and Dad, I just got married." So what do you want to do? You know, my first thought is, I want to shoot him. I don't know which one I want to shoot, okay? And he goes on and tells the story. He says, "I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep." And he said, "The issue wasn't the guy that my daughter married. I realized the issue was me. I was in rage. I was in anger. I was so mad at this guy. I wanted to get revenge. I don't know if it's a dad thing. And I felt like my whole life was wrecked," all right? And he said this, God started to deal with him. Every time he'd read his Bible, he'd read scriptures like we did. And he said, God was saying, "I want to deal with you." So he did. He and his wife started reaching out. Now, before I finish the story, let me ask this. How many of you remember when Peter goes to Jesus? "Jesus, how many times should I forgive somebody?" All right. Now, Peter's one of my favorite guys because half the time he is a mess, he is a wreck. And the other half the time he's just like connecting with glory and just great things. And some days I might want to beat myself up and I'm like, "Oh, baby, I have not chopped anybody's ear off today. I'm doing good." So that's why I like Peter. So Peter asked Jesus, "How many times do I have to forgive someone?" And now what you need to understand is the Pharisee, the religious leaders of that day said, "Oh, you need to forgive people 3 times. Just 3 times, okay?" So Peter's thinking, you know, if I double that and give one more, I'll get 7. You know, I'll be super spiritual. So he goes, "Oh, we should forgive everybody 7 times. And Jesus, I can just see it in my head. Jesus just turns around and he goes, nope, not that. How about 7 times 70? And that means 490 times you need to forgive people. So here's my first point on what do you do. Ready? Write this down. Forgiveness is not about keeping score. Forgiveness is about losing count. You know, usually we're like, ching, 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 ching. 5, another 5, okay? So let's talk about forgiveness. Let's talk about forgiveness, and I'm going to give you a little visual. How many of you like ketchup? I really do. And this is a bottle of ketchup, and there's actually 2 kinds. This is the squeezy kind, makes it come out easy. And I was really looking for the old, because I'm so young, glass bottles of the Heinz 57. I couldn't find one, so I'm going to use this anyway. But this one, like, just see, it's like the Heinz one. They were always really difficult to open up, and half the time I'd be going like this, and I know I wanted to do this, but I love my dentist, so, you know, you'd have to do this and turn it around, okay? So, and then you'd get it open, you'd take the lid off, and most people were going like this. And nothing would happen, okay? And then we'd be doing like this with the old glass narrow bottles, like nothing happened. And you know why? The contents was under pressure. So here's the first thing about forgiveness. Number one, you have to open. You have to open up. The first step to reconciliation, the first step to talking to that sister you haven't talked to in 5 years, the first step to talking to your great uncle that did whatever, is you have to open up and you have to be able to say, "You know what? I am going to open up to forgiveness," all right? Now, by the way, if you go to Heinz like Heinz 57. If you go to Heinz.com, they you can Google, how do you open these old bottles, okay? And that what they'll tell you is you are to tip it sideways. By the way, the lid is off, but I'm not going to make a mess here. And give it a firm tap. Now, it's not going to gush out, but you keep tapping it, tapping it, tapping it, tapping it. And guess what? The contents that was under pressure starts coming out, all right? It'll eventually come out. So, guys, that's how forgiveness works. The first thing you have to do is say, I am open. God, I am open to forgive. I am open to reconciliation, all right? Now, I always have to say this, that sometimes that does not mean you let that person in your life. If there have been horrific things done and it's not a safe place, you don't let them in your life, but you do forgive, all right? You do forgive, all right? So the first thing is you say, I am open. I am open to this forgiveness. I am open to reconciliation. And the next thing is you start tapping, tapping, tapping. Okay, now back to my story about this dad and this mom, this pastor. So they started tapping, tapping. And they call the daughter up who just married this guy. And the girl's not even 20. And they invite them over for dinner. Tap, tap. Now, the great thing is when you're young and you don't have any food, you go to dinner because it's free. So they come for dinner and this pastor said, it was the most excruciating, awkward dinner that he's ever been in, all right? And he says, really, there wasn't much flowing. He said, I had to stay focused, okay? But he said, we kept tapping. And we'd invite him over, and we'd tap again, and we'd tap, and we'd invite him over, and then they'd invite him to go to movies, and they tap, tap, tap. Now, I want to say this. It wasn't like one of these big squeezies, right, where you go, big blob. It wasn't like that, okay? It wasn't like just forgiveness and reconciliation, and, ooh, everything's just wonderful. It's like butterflies and unicorns. It doesn't usually happen like that, guy. Guys, it takes a tapping. Tapping, all right? Because forgiveness is not about keeping score. Forgiveness is about losing the count, all right? So here's my second point. If you're taking notes, write this down. Sometimes the worst done to you can bring the best in you. Like sometimes it takes the worst thing that was done to you, like that father, just it was like the worst thing done to him. If you will allow God, it will bring the best in you, okay? So there have been situations where it is just not the conflict, the blow up. But if you say, God, I am going to forgive, and he starts, you just let him work in you, it'll just bring the best in you and the best out of you. Instead of, you know, tap, 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 I'm not forgiving them. I'm going to hate them. I'm going to hold grudges. I'm going to keep score because you know what they did. And then the next year they did this. I'm going to keep score. And we don't do that. God is saying, hey, you forgive and it's not a keeping score. It's a losing score. And the second one, sometimes the worst thing that's done to you can bring the best out of you. Now, I just want to wrap up, but let me say this. Jesus said, if you do not forgive those who have done you wrong, your heavenly Father won't forgive you. And you're like, I thought God forgives everything. No, this is the Bible. Jesus said, if you do not forgive those who have wronged you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So number three, write this down. It is unforgivable not to forgive. It is unforgivable not to forgive. So I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your families, guys. I really believe we need to reconcile, all right? We need to open up and say, I'm open, God, I'm open. And some of you, I hear this, I'm like, are you kidding me? You're like the family feud, the McCoys against the Hatfields going on. And you're like, I'm not until they apologize. I'm waiting for them to ask for forgiveness. I'm waiting for them to open up. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why don't you just start tap, 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 tapping, okay? All right? And first, please, first you pray. First you pray for yourself and say, God, I'm so sorry I've had unforgiveness and offense and all that yuck in my life, and then you pray for them, all right? And then you just, how about if you reach out, all right? I don't know if you send a text message. I don't know what works with you. Send a letter, do something nice. Now, they may not accept it. All right, I've had that happen. Or maybe they will. But you know what is so beautiful when you start doing this, when you start moving in forgiveness and reconciliation? It just brings a gush of peace in your life. All right, it brings a peace in your life when you do what's right. And you know what? It can bring peace in your life even if they don't have peace with you. I'm okay. I've got my peace coming from God because I'm doing what he said. Why? Because love never fails. And we are not to write people off, okay? We need to move into a place where our families are not busted and blown up because we don't forgive. So let me pray for you right now. Father, we just be still. Well, you can turn me off. I was going to say dismiss, but tune me off in a minute. But Father, we just speak peace on everybody's family, every relationship. Father, we speak peace on our marriages, Lord. Father, I pray for just a reconciliation that is just so amazing, Lord, because we do exactly what Jesus did. He forgave us and reconciled us back to him. I thank you, Father, that people take those steps and they tap, tap, tap and start having reconciliation with their family. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say one more thing, a question, really. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, I want to tell you, today's the best day. Today you can just simply say, I don't and I need a relationship. And you know, God doesn't make you jump through hoops like people do. He simply said, if you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord and that you're a sinner, he would come into your life and you would have this reconciliation. You would have this restored relationship just by doing that. Jesus did all the hard stuff. It's just up to you. So if you're here today and you would say, Pastor D, I do not have a relationship, but I see I do. Would you just pray this after me? Just pray this after me. Say, Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, for my sins. And I believe he's the Son of God. And today, Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to be my Lord. I ask you to be my Savior. And I accept you today in Jesus' name. If you prayed that day, today you are a child of God. Shoo, you have a right relationship. You are just reconciled unto God and you have also been given the ministry to tell others. So, hey, if you've done that, prayed that prayer today, let us know. We love you. Have a great week. And don't forget, next week is YCF's grand reopening. That's what I'm calling it. Services start at 10:30. We ask that you just be compliant to social distancing. We'll help you sit down and wear your mask. We are going to have a wonderful time just celebrating and just singing unto the Lord. So have a wonderful week. See you next week.